Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 3. Be a short verse in your hearing, and then we'll get into it. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates," everybody say the gates,
"gates
thereof are burned with fire." I'm going to tell you my title, and it's going to make no sense compared to that scripture. My title today is "The Sound and the Sounds of Revival." The Sounds of Revival. If you put your Bibles down, or if you want to hold them in your hands, that's quite all right. Let's pray over the sermon today and ask God to touch us. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity, God, once again, to bring forth the truth of your gospel out into this community, out into this world. God, whether anyone's watching online later, God, or in this room today, God, I pray, God, your word would go forth, God, and that it would touch our hearts, our minds, change us, make us new, God. Let us see and hear the sound of revival today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the word today. So I'm going to preface this with, I have preached this, most of the contents of this message before. I preached them in other churches. But today, I did feel specific that it was for today. Obviously, many parts of it will be different. It's not intended to be a cookie-cutter, already pre-manufactured message. In fact, God had given me this message probably, 6 years ago. And I've only preached it probably less than a handful of times. I do feel it important for where we are today. And it was, as God laid this message on my heart this week, I thought it was just ironic how he had already set up the weeks prior for this. That's how I knew. This wasn't just like, oh, Cody just wants to just preach something he already had. No, I knew it was God, because as I began to dig into this, because you second guess yourself as a preacher. Okay, what is this? Is this me preaching this, or is this God wanting me to preach this? And as I began to dig into the contents and change some things as God was asking me to change, I began to understand that the messages the last few weeks has just led up to this point. Last week, for example, when we talked about revival and we claimed territory and we believed and we asked God, and then we talked about the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. You remember that message, built on a rock. And we started talking about the things that God was going to do for us. And then God suddenly started putting this, and now it's going to be an uplifting message. It's going to be a message of revival. It's going to be a message of declaring. But today, there's going to be something that we got to do. Anybody ready to do something? So in the book of Nehemiah, we find this in the chapter 1, verse 3. So we're not even in the book good. And we realize something detrimental has happened to the walls of Jerusalem. We find that there has been great affliction and reproach. Now, in many captivity scenarios in the Bible, that was never good. Never good. It was, matter of fact, most of the time, if not all the time, it was utter destruction over and over again. And the people of God had found themselves in this position where what was said of them was not "what a great army," but the description in verse number 3 was "a remnant." Just so you know, being a remnant is not a great thing. Other than you're still alive. That's about the greatest thing of a remnant, is that you're still around. Because a remnant, it means what's left. When I say we're a remnant of God's people, that would mean there's utter destruction everywhere else and we remain. That is the great thing, we remain, but it means that everything around us is falling apart, or has already fallen apart. And so this story of the book of Nehemiah states that there was a remnant left of the captivity. Y'all getting what I'm saying? We're stacking negative things on top of negative things. There was people left in captivity and they were afflicted and reproached. Not only that, the people were virtually destroyed. There was also the walls of Jerusalem that protected this great city of God that were broken down. And the gates were burned with fire. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15 says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Everybody got ears? You know what my grandmother used to say? Y'all probably heard this before. Did you know God give you two ears and one mouth so you can listen twice as much? My brother was told that a lot. I just was in the room. Hearing is a very unique thing. Consider all the sounds you hear every day. Maybe a child laughing, the birds singing, people chatting, a great song on the radio, if you still listen to the radio. You may hear a symphony of sounds all day long that make life richer. Hearing empowers us. It helps us live everyday lives without limitations a lot of times. It enables us to socialize, to work, communicate. Just think about how much hearing goes into your life. It helps us stay connected with the outside world. It keeps us safe by warning us of potential danger. Think of a telephone ringing or a restless baby. I hear that a lot. Blare of a fire alarm. If a fire alarm went off right now, we wouldn't have to communicate what to do. Because our hearing will tell us, get out. For most of us, it's get out. For maybe one or two of us, it's going to be, what's going on? How can we save this place? But for most of us, it is a sign of, get out. Let's go. Telephone rings. If it's far enough in another room, you run to it. Hopefully you can beat it before it gets to the voicemail. Those are just a few examples of those important signals that hearing helps us recognize. As equal as hearing is fascinating and important, hearing loss is a real life thing. Sometimes it's due to just the aging of our bodies, and other times it's due to the circumstances we put our bodies through. Many construction workers in the excavating business that deal with a lot of tractors or things of that nature or heavy equipment usually lose their hearing a lot quicker than most everyone else because they have put themselves in a high volume environment. You have your, I don't have my Apple Watch on today, but if you have your Apple Watch and I just really screamed really loud, or we all screamed really loud, you may have a setting on your Apple Watch that says, hey, warning, hearing loss is potential in this kind of volume environment. Hearing loss is important and something that we don't really notice. Hearing is something we do take for granted. I mean, you're hearing me now, and other than me pointing out the fact of our hearing, you would have went this entire message never thinking about hearing. Hearing loss, just like, you know, it comes and goes. And as I said, as we get older, it starts with occasionally missing a few words here and there. And no, wives, I'm not talking about the selective hearing us husbands have. I'm not mentioning that. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about just actual hearing loss where we miss a few words here and there. In general, we go effortlessly through life and never even consider our hearing. We talk to one another. We chat over the phone. In fact, and I'll get to this later, I don't want to get too far ahead of me. Hearing, it plays a huge role into your communication. Not just in what you hear others, but in how you communicate to others. Listening to the TV, we don't even pay second thought. Things are not nearly as easy when we have hearing loss. Hearing loss occurs just a simple thing like following a conversation in a restaurant. Huh? What'd you say? Could you repeat that again? I have a close person in my life. It's not in this room. That they're completely, I think, deaf in their left ear. If I needed to talk to them, I need to be on the other side of them because they would never hear me if I was on their left side. But just simple things like hearing a doorbell or the telephone, it would become a real issue. You may even start with hearing loss, start experiencing all sorts of emotions. You may start experiencing worry or sadness or loneliness. You may also feel tired and irritable from having to concentrate so much on what people are saying. And left unattended, hearing loss can ultimately lead to feelings of isolation and depression. Imagine someone who is struggling with deafness. They sit in this room in utter and total silence. Imagine the loneliness and isolation in a room full of people watching people talk and their mouths moving, knowing they're communicating, and you sit there helpless. Well, we can be like that in the kingdom. Are y'all ready for me to start preaching now? I talked a lot about our physical hearing. There's a point of that. Acts chapter 7, verse 55 through 60, talks about Stephen, the first martyr of the kingdom. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up unto heaven as he was being stoned, and he saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And behold, I see, he said this, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried with a loud voice, and watch this, stop their ears. And they ran upon him with one accord, casting him out of the city and stoning him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet named Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The most deadly thing for a church is when the truth is preached, when revival is preached, for us to say, don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. That's the danger of revival. We will stone the man of God when you stop your ears. The sadness of this was he was proclaiming the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. He was declaring heavens be opened. And they said, we don't want to hear about such a thing. And when they stopped their ears, they began to stone the man of God. You see, when every preacher and pastor preaches in this pulpit, when we stop our ears, we are inevitably saying that you are not important to me. And the voice of that man will stop in your life. And that right there will stop revival every single time. It will. It will stop revival every single time. Mark chapter 7 says, and they brought a deaf person who was impotent in speech, meaning he couldn't talk. He not only couldn't hear, he couldn't talk. They beseeched him to put his hands upon him. He took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And he looked up to heaven and he said, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loose and he began to speak plainly. Are you hearing me today, Pentecostals? There is something to be said when you unstop your ears, that you can start to speak things that are true and that are plain. You see, when you stop your ears on the Word of God and on the man of God, you cannot speak plainly. You start talking all kinds of stuff that don't make sense and that aren't reality. You start saying things like, church isn't important for me anymore. I don't have to go there and be around people. I can sit at home and be just fine. No, there has to be something where we unstop our ears and we start saying things that are true, which is, I will not forsake to assemble myself together with one another, even more as the day is approaching. I know that Christ is King. When we stop our ears, we cannot hear, thus saith the Lord. You're listening for a still small voice with your fingers in your ears, looking for God in a whirlwind when He's trying to speak. You see, revival is coming to this city. Revival is coming to this church. And it is here. It's not just coming. It is here. And if we have our ears stopped, we're looking for God to do something. And He's saying something. You see, we are His hands and feet. We're looking for God to do all the work when we're supposed to do the work. He's only communicating from heaven what work to do. And if we have our ears stopped and we're so consumed by our own life, we will not hear the sound of revival. You see, those people stopped their ears at Stephen's stoning, and Jesus said, I'm going to unstop your ears to heal the deaf man. And when Jesus said, "Be opened," his tongue was loose and he spake plainly. The best way I could describe it, didn't have time to set this up this morning, but I could. We could probably figure it out, but I won't. I'll just explain it. How many's ever heard of the Whisper Challenge? Anybody ever heard of that? If you haven't, let me explain it to you really quick. Basically, it's two people. They play a little game. They have a, most of the time it's like little cue cards. It'll say like bubble gum or elephant or something like that. Well, the other person sits in the chair across from this one person that has the cue cards, and they have headphones on, most likely and ideally noise-canceling headphones. And they would blare music at the loudest volume possible that they can contain, and the other person would talk, and it would look like this. And the idea of the game is for the person with the headphones on to read the lips of the other person and communicate back what's being said. It's the most hilarious game in the world because bubblegum looks like boo-boo something. Elephant just looks like the finale or something like that. I mean, we could display the game and I could show you what would happen, but I think you'd get the point if you know what I'm talking about. It is that way in church. I can get up here and say, "These seats are going to be full. What do you hear?" I can say God's going to give us properties and buildings, but what do you hear? What are you listening to? Is there something playing in your heart right now that God wouldn't approve of? And I'm not talking about worldly music. I'm talking about is the negativity of what you see around you, is the destruction you see around you, Nehemiah, is it too much to where you can't see and hear plainly? Because revival is here.
Right.
I see a hungry city.
Yes.
I see a hungry city. Me and Savannah talk about it all the time. All I see is people that are hungry for truth here. That, and you know what? That's all God wants. That's all God wants is people that are hungry for truth. And when you can't see or hear that anymore, you just need to maybe, and again, I'm not bashing you, but I'm just saying all you got to do is unplug your ears. All you got to do is hear plainly the sounds of revival that are around you. When someone says, "I'm struggling, I'm going through something, I don't know where to turn," that's the sound of revival, by the way. When you see young people desiring to worship God and learn more about the truth, that's the sound of revival, by the way. When you start seeing people desperate for a move of God of some kind and they don't even know what it is and what it means, that's revival, by the way. So Matthew 11, "He that hath ears, let him hear." Psalms 135:17 says, "They have ears, but they do not hear. Neither is their breath in their mouths." You have to understand this. The ears are the doorway to our communication. Out of the abundance of the heart does the mouth speak. So what you hear, all that music you listen to, all that negativity you hear, all the destruction you see, you need to remind yourself. When you think negatively, when you think that it can't happen, and I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know the future, all you need to do is say, "God, I speak life into this situation. I speak life into my church. God, I pray for my pastors. God, I pray for the people of our church. I pray that they be blessed and they see revival in their homes." When you start speaking those things, you're unlocking and unstopping your ears. Matthew chapter 13. Here's the main point of my message. This is where it really gets us, where we got to do something. Another parable he put forth, verse 24, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit. Then it appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came, and he said unto the master, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed into the field? From where did the tares come from?' And he said, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants have said unto him, Will you let us go and tear up and gather up all the tares? And he said, No, do not gather up the tares unless you root up the wheat with them. Let them grow together, gather into harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them and gather the wheat into my barn. What does that scripture have to do with anything I'm saying? Well, I want you to look at this. Before this story and after this story, Jesus said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Why is Jesus repeating this so much? Why is he saying it before and after this story? Are you ready for some fun, amazing, but convicting knowledge? When the Word of God goes forth on Sunday morning, it's good seed. There's nothing bad about it. But the enemy, before you walk out of those two doors, and definitely before you walk out of those other two doors, he'd like to sow some tares in you. He wants you to get offended by something that's happening in the church. He wants you to get offended by a conversation. He wants you to get offended by something that you're not allowed to do, but someone else is. And he wants to set a fence on you. He wants to sow tares into the field that good seed has been sown. Does anybody know what the difference between a wheat and a tare is? Good, I get to tell you today. I did some research. I come to find out that as they're growing, wheats and tares look identical. Like the stalk looks the same. Everything about them looks the same. Do you know the only time you can tell the difference between a wheat and a tare? Is when the harvest comes. And watch that. Watch this. This is what wheat has and this is what tares have. But they're different. This is the only way to tell the difference. When the ears appear. The ears of a wheat are different than the ears of a tare. So you get to choose what you're listening to determine whether you're going to be a wheat or tare in this place. Oh, but it's not my job to rip you up and plant you somewhere else. No, that's not. That's God's job at harvest. But I'm telling you, there's a field white for harvest out there, ready for revival. What kind of church will we be? The enemy would love for you to be a tear. No, that doesn't mean you're going to show disruption and you're going to show challenges. That doesn't mean that. The tares were just not supposed to be in the field. The enemy has sown them. What keeps you different? What makes you different? What makes you wheat? What makes you a child of God, walking with God, pursuing God, is what you hear, what you listen to, and what you commit to hearing. You see, when the ear is determined at harvest, then that determines what happens to the harvest. And unfortunately for tares, when they're cast into the fire, the furnace of fire, in verse 42 it said there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, but when the righteous shine forth as the sun, the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom, and who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Today, I'm challenging you. The sound of revival are only determined by what you're willing to hear. Oh, people are going to say you're crazy. They're going to think you're crazy when you hear the sound of rain coming, Ezekiel, Elijah. When Ezekiel sees bones dried in a valley, and God says, speak to these bones, can they live? And Ezekiel says, Lord, only you know that these bones can live. And he says, speak to these bones, Ezekiel. Ezekiel would have never been able to speak had he not heard. Elijah would never been able to say unless he didn't hear the sound of the abundance. He heard the sound of the abundance of rain way before he seen a cloud. I'm telling you, revival is here. I'm telling you, I hear the hunger for truth. I'm telling you, I hear people moving and moving into closer to His Spirit. I'm telling you, I hear favor and blessing for families across this place today. But do you hear it? Because that's what determines what kind of harvest you will see. Do you want to see abundance for your family? You got to start hearing and listening for it. You got to start hearing and listening for it. Are you wanting the Holy Ghost to move across your family and across this church? You got to start listening for it. Acts chapter 19, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we've not even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, well, how have you been baptized? And he said unto John's baptism, which was of repentance. And then he said, verily I say unto you, John's baptism was unto repentance, but they should believe, they should come after him on Jesus Christ. And they heard this. When they heard this, they were suddenly baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, if you want to hear the sound of revival, we got to start believing that it is necessary to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen? When you've been baptized, it is a form of burial unto Christ. When we know that this is essential, when the Bible said in the book of Acts 1 and 8 that you're going to have power to be witnesses, in Acts 2 and verse 1, when the Holy Ghost fell on them and they thought they were speaking in some hocus pocus pocus type weird language, magic something, they said, you're drunk. No, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that. Go read Acts chapter 2. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that our sons and daughters would prophesy and all flesh would experience the power of his spirit. And they said, well, what must we do to be saved then? Acts 2 verse 38 said, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this promise is unto you and to your children and to those that the Lord our God shall call, and to many as the Lord our God shall call. And they continued in verse 42. It is important that we continue to preach baptism in Jesus' name. It is essential. It is important that it be in Jesus' name. Why in Jesus' name? Because all power is given unto him, and there is no name given under heaven whereby we must be saved than at the name of Jesus. Do we still believe in the power of Jesus' name? Do we still believe that in Jesus' name the dead are raised? And it is important that we receive the Spirit. And we receive the Spirit the Bible way. The Bible way is that we speak with other tongues. Why? How can I prove that? Well, in Acts 19, when he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And he said, no, we've not heard of a Holy Ghost. And then they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. It is important to understand that every person who received the Holy Ghost in the Bible, they spake in tongues. Every person that was baptized in the Bible, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, why did Matthew, Jesus said at the end of it, well, baptizing everyone in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not names. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost isn't names. Those are titles. And my Father is Jesus. And the Son is Jesus. And the Spirit is Jesus. He said, I and the Father are one. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Isaiah 9 and 6 said, he's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the Father. He is the Son, come down from heaven to wrap himself in flesh. He is the Spirit, because Jesus said the Father's going to send the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to comfort you, and he's going to send him in my name. It is important that we understand the sound of revival. Church, today, the sound of revival is what I've been preaching for the last 2.5 minutes. The sound of revival is Jesus' name. The sound of revival is baptism. The sound of revival is Holy Ghost being filled. The sound of revival. I'm speaking the sound of revival right now. I'm wanting you to hear the sounds of revival, because it's not going to get any different. If you think I'm going to preach a different message, it's not going to happen. I'm not willing to compromise on the Word. I'm going to stand firm on the Word, because His church was built on a rock, and the rock was the name of Jesus. The gates of hell will not prevail against the name of Jesus. The gates of hell are not able to prevail against the name of Jesus. As I preached on that last Sunday on the Built on the Rock, the name of Jesus is a moving forward object. It is something the church is moving forward on. We are built on a rock that is moving. We are built on a rock that is continuing to move forward, and the gates of hell are not able to prevail against it. So when I say I hear the sound of earth shaking and dry bones rattling, when I hear the sound of saints that are buried in the world beginning to rise, when I hear the sound of healings taking place, when I hear the sounds of miracles taking place, when I hear the sounds of harvest, I hear the sound of revival. I'm telling you today, we don't need to be lazy or lethargic when it comes to this amazing gospel. As I've mentioned several times before, if something dramatic and amazing happened in your family, you'd be jumping for joy. You'd be leaping, running around this building. There'd be nothing to stop you. You know what? I've heard this before, and I think it should be mentioned. They say, oh, well, you should just sit quietly in church. It should be a respectful thing. Jesus never got up and jumped around, and he never like got excited and ran around the desert or nothing like that, because they didn't have aisles, you know. He didn't run around the desert. He didn't go crazy. He didn't run around the synagogue. Jesus never done that. And I'll say, you're right. He didn't. But everybody Jesus touched did. When Jesus touches your life, there's something that wells up inside of you. There's a fire that begins to burn in you. And suddenly you understand that the power of the name of Jesus and the power of His Word only brings the sound of revival. And if you think I'm only talking about seats full in this place, I'm not. Although I believe that. I'm talking about revival in your life and in your family and in your life. I'm talking about revival where all those things you thought were dead and gone, that they begin to rise up, and suddenly you start obtaining favor, walking in authority. Sickness comes to your body, you claim it to be gone, and it's gone. I'm talking about revival to where your shadow, like the Bible, can heal people. Amen. What about that? How amazing would that be? Walk by a crippled person and your shadow heal them. Wouldn't that be amazing? You can't do that stopping your ears on the sounds of revival. You can't do that kind of stuff unless you're walking in the fire of the Holy Ghost, committed to the Word of God. You can't do that when you refuse to hear the sound of revival. You can't do that if you think that this generation of 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds and beyond can drink, take drugs, commit suicide, indulge in sexual perversion, and don't believe that they can lay hands on the sick and recover. If you don't believe that this generation is a generation that seeks God and loves God, they are being enamored by all the things of this world. You won't believe in revival if you don't believe that these young people can also have revival. You won't believe in revival. You won't believe in revival if you believe that the enemy can have their soul, but God cannot use them. There has to be something. There has to be something in us that says, this world may want our children. This world may want my attention, but it will not. It will not. I refuse to let this generation be a generation that is not used by God. We can be used by God. Every age, every person, and no matter your nationality, background, or your race, it don't matter what in the world you come from in your family. It doesn't matter if you got a last name born in Pentecost or not. All I got to tell you is today there is power in the room for you. Amen. I need you to believe that. Do you believe that? Nehemiah chapter 2. Get back to our story that we started with. And I'm almost done, I promise you. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, meaning Nehemiah said, I'm going to go back and rebuild this wall. He asked the king. He was a king's servant, by the way. He wasn't like a prophet or a man of God or a judge. Nehemiah was just a servant of the king. And he asked the king, can I go rebuild the wall of my people? It's torn down. He told him to. And then when these men, as you see on the screen I just mentioned, when they heard it, they laughed us to scorn, Nehemiah says. They despised us and said, what is this thing you're doing? Why are you rebelling against the king? And then I answered and said, the God of heaven will prosper us. The God of heaven is looking out for us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you, talking to these young men, you will have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. What is he saying right here? He's saying, because you don't believe I should be rebuilding the wall, you're going to have no part of this revival. That's the difference between a wheat and a tare. You're going to be in the middle of revival and have no part of it. That's why I'm preaching so passionately today, to unstop your ears and start hearing the sound of revival, because I don't want you to be in the midst of the harvest and not have revival yourself. He said, you're not going to have any portion. You're not going to have a right. There's not even going to be a memorial. And in the Bible times, that memorial was a testimony of what God had done. You're not even going to have a testimony of what God had done if you were not able to see. And you know what they did? Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1, these men, the Sanballat, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem of the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that we built the wall, and there was no breach in it. So they built the walls back, and there's no hole in it. There's no way to get in there. They said, hey, Nehemiah, yo, my buddy, come down off that wall. Stop building. He invited them to a valley called Ono. O-N-O. Ono. Just like common sense advice, if anybody ever asks you to come to them to a place called Ono, just don't. It's not good. It's in the name, right? It says it for itself. But he said, come off that wall. He said, stop building. Man, there's no breach left in it. You've done your job. Come to the valley of Ono. Look what it says. Are you ready for this powerful statement? There's no breach in the wall. And they were amazed by the wall being built. And that little parentheses just is the most powerful statement in the world. They were amazed by a wall that was built, and there wasn't even gates put on it yet. But I'm here to tell you today, is the revival that's coming to this city, people are going to be amazed by it. But we ain't done yet. Amen. The gates ain't even put on it yet. We're still going. We're still pursuing. God's still sending. And God said in the book of Revelation, he said, I will set a door upon you that no man can shut. There's going to be gates put on this that no man can shut. And as we continue to pursue and as we continue to move forward, the gates of hell won't prevent the gates of God from opening wide to everybody that will, addicted or not, divorced or not, going through it or not. Does not matter. I don't care. God don't care. The door is wide open for revival in this place. And there is nothing the enemy can say. He's going to try to say, oh, that's not important. Oh, living life holy isn't important. Living God, life holy and pursuing God isn't important. But I'm telling you that it is important, and there is revival here today. Amen. You stand to your feet today. I believe God has sent me here today to let you know, just like Elijah let all the people know, hey, I hear the sound of revival.